right, here we are. For Robert Roode, Nicholas Allen Baugh, and we got quite the challenge in the task in front of us.
Is this harder than the seventh consecutive 7-point or less loss?
Maybe. Because that's what's funny is like we found a way to have the same kind of talking points for a 3-9 season 9 different times on like, how about this? How about this special teams blunder? How about this?
But we're talking about games that got played.
Right.
Was this even a game, technically?
That's why I don't understand. You know, you and I were texting last night. So we're recording this about 7 o'clock on Sunday. We're texting on Saturday night. And we're like, this is going to be interesting to try to have takes and thoughts on a football game that didn't have any tackling.
Well, did you know it wasn't going to be, like, it was going to be scored that way? I didn't know that.
I knew, I saw someone tweet out the, like, Mitch Sherman maybe tweeted out, like, the scoring. So I knew that's how the score, but I guess I wasn't sure, and shame on me for not knowing this. Were you in the know that it was going to be, what do they call it, a thud up or a tut?
I was not. I literally, like, they did the first snap, they threw an incomplete pass, and then I turned to my brother-in-law and I said, are they tackling? And he's like, it looked like they're tackling. And then they have the first run.
Right.
And then they don't. And I think the entire stadium went, ugh.
That's how I was. I sat down. I mean, I had my computer out. I was like, first drive, QB, Casey Thompson, running back, Ramir, here we go. And I was ready to do kind of like my thing, like notes and all that stuff. And then the first play happens and you're like, oh, oh.
Well, and you know, and so like, let's just get like, I get why they don't do it. I understand we're thin and the idea of letting anybody get hurt is probably a detriment to the season.
Right.
Okay, we're playing for the season, true, give it, but like, I was in that stadium and I could tell as soon as that, like about a series went by, people were kind of paying attention, but they didn't quite pay attention as much as you would actually if you're into a game where people tackle and hit. Like the physical part of it's so important for the engagement of the fans,
right,
what you find out. Like tagging off, like people loot. It's not almost not football.
No, it's definitely not football, especially like every run play. You don't even know, it's not possible to really have any takeaway from any run play. And so I think it was funny. One of the funny things was following reactions on Twitter and then even some of the things after. It's like, but I tell you, the offense really struggled. And it's like, well, like, it's two-hand touch.
So
every run, other than Anthony Grant, who will chug Kool-Aid in a little bit over his 60-yard run, like, it's pretty amazing to have a 60-yard run when it's two-hand touch.
But he got touched.
Did he get touched?
Yeah,
right now?
I mean, the guy was there. It's like, and the ref was just like, he wouldn't have got him. Like,
yeah,
that's a judgment call. So I was trying to think about this. Like, okay, the game is the offense has the ball and the offense tries to, you know, get across the goal line to score. The defense has to tackle the people and prevent them by taking them to the ground. They're not down till they're on the ground. And or till they, you know,
yeah,
sometimes they'll blow the whistle, but it's really taking them to the ground.
Right.
So if the defense doesn't do the one thing that the defense, like, what's the equivalent in the offense? Like, I was thinking about this. I was going, so what if they just didn't use a ball?
Well, that's why it's funny you say that. I was trying to as I sat here to try to like get into that. I'm like, what's an analogy for another sport? Like, we're going to play baseball, but we don't have,
like, the pitcher doesn't have a ball.
The pitcher doesn't have
it.
And then pretend.
The guy swings and the umpire's like, strike.
Yeah, like, I'm honestly trying to figure out what the equivalent would be if you remove tackling from football. It ceases to become football.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like if you're playing basketball with no ball, or basketball where you can't dribble, or, you know, something where
there's
like,
basket, like there's there, it's basketball, but they're like, remember when we would play with, sometimes you can put a plug in the rim so the ball can't go in the hoop or something like that. Would it have gone in? Would it have not?
It would have been close. Yeah, it's like.
But that's what it was. So I think, yes, I think we have to acknowledge, before we even get into any sort of attempting to have takeaways from this thing, I think we have to all acknowledge that is an impossible situation to have anything, any sort of major takeaways from.
And so they did the second half was tackle.
Right.
And they scrimmaged. But to me, it's like, I'm just like, okay, why don't we just say, if you can't play the game of football without, you know, or I should say, if we can't afford to lose you, let's keep them out and let the people that can play, play. Because if you're going to bring 50,000 people in the stadium, they want to watch football. Like, they don't really want to watch the two-hand touch. And that's not to say that it's not the right move. I'm saying, do what you got to do.
I'm with you.
But if you're going to do a scrimmage and you're going to have people there, let's play football.
I'm totally with you. I think there are both sides that I completely subscribe to and understand the schools of thoughts on each. Do I understand why Scott Frost and those guys did what they did? Absolutely, right? Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it's football. So there is a part of me that goes, well, hold on. Did you guys ever tackle with?
They did in the spring. They tackled.
What I struggle with is, what's the difference?
That's what I also am wondering is, like, if you're willing to have a scrimmage at some point in
practice 11, let's say, or whatever. Let's say practice 9. I'm not sure how you'd.
That's where it's what's odd. What's the difference? It's odd that they don't want to do it for the actual big show, where it's like, well, we can't get anybody hurt that day. Maybe the people, it's a different atmosphere, so people, it's less controlled or something. I don't know. But, like, to me, it's like, you still, maybe you take your top 22 and they don't play.
That's fine. You don't
want to. Maybe your top 30 don't play.
Right.
But there's 100 other guys that the fans would love to see play.
Well, and that's what's interesting is it sounds like, I was reading some quotes to Casey Thompson and like, they had a meeting with the leadership council, met with Frost about going live, and they ultimately decided against it. That, like, I think some of the players were even, like, I know Ramir Johnson called the structure, I think, quote, trash, which is, like, a great way to put it. Like, but I don't know. So, I mean, we're spending 7 minutes on this, but it's a big part. Like, what's the story of the spring game?
It was an all-time dud because it was the least football-like spring game we've ever seen.
Ever seen. And I guess I'm just like, have we gone too far with that school of thought of just being like, well, because that, like I said, at some point they were tackling. At some point you could tackle Anthony Grant and you could, and you know, Nick Henrich was tackling somebody.
Yeah, or even if you just do, like, you know, 9-on-7 goal line with the ones and twos, you know, and then everybody else's threes and fours, and you let them play a real game. Like, whatever you need to do to keep people safe. I almost think, like, take your 22 best and say, you cannot hurt these guys. They're out.
Right.
They've had enough reps this
week. What do you think? What if they would have done that? What if they would have said, hey guys, because what was funny about it though, in the second half, you were like kind of excited about it. But then the running backs, we're like, ball carried by Trevin Lubin. And you're like, who? We're like, who's this guy?
Like one of the kids, is, I think it was one of the, remember the fullback?
Schuster,
I think it was his kid or his nephew or something. And he looked like he was still, like, in high school. He was, like, skinny as a rail, playing running back. But I was like, he's running hard.
Right.
It's fun to watch. I don't care who you are. It's fun to watch when people are out there competing.
Would you have rather watched? So we got to see it, basically. We got to see the first half and the second half. Would you rather have just seen the whole game as a second half and you don't get to see Trey Palmer, Casey Thompson, Ramir Johnson, Nick Henrich? You don't get to see any of those guys, but you get to, like, I'm just trying to figure out.
I would have liked, and the other part that's hard is when it's sort of this, like, offense, defense, you kind of don't really know. It was almost hard for me to be like, well, there's no continuity of reds versus whites.
Right.
I just like it. Have your team be your team.
Yeah, it was a weird. I mean, and listen, spring games are already, it's a fool's errand to walk into a spring game and have try to have little large takeaways from it. But at the same time, this spring game, more so than any other spring game, felt the most like, what are we doing here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm speaking. I usually try to speak from, like, the point of view of, like, what's the best thing for the program and for winning, and maybe this is. But today I'm speaking from, like, the guy that likes to watch Nebraska football. And, like, I didn't like that.
I truly do wonder, like, if you're just like, you know, I'm Grant Granthen from Grand Island. Yeah. I love Husker football. Like, does that guy bringing his family coming to the spring game, like, would you want to continue to to do that? I don't know.
It was a beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
It was
day.
Fun to be out there. It was fun to be amongst it.
And maybe that's enough.
But I think they underestimate that people would much rather see the threes and fours balling out hard than the ones and twos out there playing touch. I promise you.
Right.
I would say most of Nebraska would probably agree with that.
I agree. And then to add another layer to it, I'm pretty sure on the BTN broadcast, there was the nugget that Mark Whipple wasn't even calling plays.
Well, I think they're trying to protect the schematics.
Even though, let's say they're not, it's not Mark Whipple's playbook, but at least Mark Whipple is calling play.
Like, yeah, why wouldn't he call the plays?
They said at one point, on the broadcast, they made it sound like, I think Mark Whipple's thing was, spring is also about not only for players, but it's about coaches to work on things. So I don't know if that meant, I don't know who's calling the plays.
I wonder if it has to do with, like, they're trying to still get their terminologies down.
Maybe,
or something.
Or they're trying to give Northwestern all sorts, because if you're Northwestern, you turn on that, you're like, what? maybe that's what the whole thing was. And again, I say all these things, I totally can wrap my mind around. If Frost was in here and said, guys, and blah, 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 and we'd be like, okay.
But here's where I would argue with him. I'd be like, I think it's your job to put on a show.
Right.
Like if I'm him and I'm not, I would want to put on a show. And to me, it's like, I would probably, my philosophy would be along these lines. If we're really thin at some positions, starters in the thin positions probably sit. I probably, if you're not a for sure starter or you're a second string, you're playing football and you're tackling. Quarterbacks are in green. You do not touch the quarterback.
Yeah, we're not advocating, you know, like decapitating.
But if you're
Heinrich
hurt,
Harbert,
you're out.
But like,
if you're a for sure locked in old senior starter, you're out. And anybody that we're worried about, you're out. But everybody else, if you're trying to get a starting job, I kind of want to see you play.
Because
I wonder
what even guys like Ramir Johnson and Nick Henrich, the guys that have been starters, like how they felt about even playing.
Most guys by that time are kind of like, I mean, it's kind of fun to play in front of people, but you're also like,
but you're not playing though. You know what I mean?
No,
like, so that's what's
it's
so.
It's not as fun if you're just tagging off. But I don't know. I think it's spring is kind of like, anyway, but.
No, so we just spent 12, almost 15 minutes.
But
talking
everybody
about this.
But needed to hear it, Nick. They needed to hear it.
Any sort of spring conversation about the spring game has to be centered around what we just talked about.
I had never seen so many reactions like, oh, that wasn't great, was it? Like, it just wasn't. Like,
was super excited about it. You know, because just like anything, like, it doesn't take much to get you right back into, yeah, like, here we go. And then after the first two plays, you're like, oh. My interest level,
that's everybody
just
was
plummeted, because you're like, I really wanted to get a feel for a lot of stuff. And like,
you got to learn nothing.
Basically, I don't know how you could have any takeaway from the defense in all reality, because you're not tackling.
No. No.
And I don't know how you could have any takeaway from any of the running backs in all reality, or the run game in all reality. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I think you could get a sense of, like, it was nice to see Trey Palmer on the field in a helmet, move, yep, around. Casey Thompson out there under center. Watch him throw a ball. Like, those things were good. But it just was I did think it was funny, to circle back to what I said. Like, it was funny how people are like, boy, I tell you what, the offense really struggled. It's like, guys, you're already, like, coming at it wrong. Like, you're trying to assess something.
We learned nothing.
You
We've
can't learn
nothing.
Anything. Like, you don't know what really happened with anything. So, I mean, let's get into what we can, if we have to try to have a take.
Yes. I do. I got plenty.
Yeah, I got plenty of take. Let's just get it, because I think then you're going to just like a few guys that you felt like, ooh, okay. Let's start with Casey Thompson.
Yeah.
I mean, he only played three drives through four passes. What your Malcolm Gladwell blink, like, there he is. We've seen him play for Texas, but you see him out there at Memorial Stadium. What stood out to you?
I learned nothing from any of his plays necessarily. I think the guy led the team out in the field. I think I learned more from the fact that he was him and Frost leading a team out in the field that he's been around for 3 months.
I wrote down something or nothing. Thompson led the team out of the tunnel.
Okay. Good man.
So there we go. But I like, to me, that's something.
That's something. That is something that you can learn whether it was two-hand touch or not. Like, he is asserting himself as the potential leader of this team.
Right.
It's a good sign, and I think it's probably telling that he's going to, I mean, everybody's been saying he's going to get the keys to the car right now. But, yeah, I didn't learn a ton from – he was pressured a lot. You know, he made some throws. People caught them, but it wasn't really like – you didn't get to see him in any scenario that really showed you much.
Yeah, I mean, I thought
so, – not really good or bad, just kind of
no,
whatever.
Yeah, like, I feel like you couldn't come away with either – I mean, he – I thought it looked like a couple, like the first ball on the sidelines of the first play of the game, like that was a rope.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so there were a couple times it looked like he had a little bit of mustard with his arm. I still don't have a sense for his athleticism and how fast he really is.
Yeah.
Is he, size wise, did he look about he looked a little smaller.
He's smaller than I pictured him taller.
Right.
And I think he's like closer to 6 foot or less.
See, and that's the thing where, and this is where you're getting like too, you know, you become like at the combine, you're like, look at the legs on that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always, I think you're with me. The guy that always kind of makes me from a football standpoint to be like, oh, Uchimama is Heinrich Harburg.
I know.
Heinrich Harburg, I like, let me tell you, I like Heine's Heine.
You like Heine. As much as Chenander likes the poster of Aiden Hutchinson and his. Aiden Hutchinson's still on, like, Mr. April in a fireman's outfit.
Just with, like, an axe chopping in a door. You could come in the pod studio and there could be a Heinrich Harburg, like, calendar. And like, all right, look at that. He's a good, like, he passes the eye test.
But he might be fourth on the depth chart.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by my good friends at Runza. You know, a few things make me more proud than the fact that Runza supports my podcast. Because as a Nebraskan, I've been a Runza fan my entire life. I lived down the street from a Runza growing up. It was a blast to go there as a kid. Sometimes I'd even ride my bike there with my buddies. I vividly remember one of our very first elementary school field trips was to Runza. Everyone loved it. I remember going to Runza in high school for lunches with all my high school friends. And I've told you guys this, one of the happiest days at Kansas my freshman year was discovering a Runza in Lawrence, Kansas. It was like finding a little slice of home when I was away from home. And now as an adult, it's great to share Runza with my kiddos who absolutely love the deliciousness of Runza. It's a little Runza story from yours truly. And you know what the menu is. Just outstanding, amazing Runza sandwiches. Oh my gosh, a piping hot cheese Runza? That sounds good right now. Incredible burgers, the best fries on the planet. The salads are great, especially the Southwest chicken salad, my personal favorite. It's just awesome food. So whether it's lunch, dinner, a little snack, doesn't matter. Runza is the spot. You need to go download the mobile app. It's in the app store. You can order ahead, skip the line. Plus, you can earn rewards as well. Runza makes it all better. Okay, as we just hammer through the quarterbacks here, I don't know what to... Again, let me preface this with... I thought Logan Smothers did a lot of good things in the three quarters of the game he started against Iowa.
Yeah.
Like, he really did. Like, dude had Iowa beat.
Yeah.
He did. Right? And now, did he maybe make some... I feel like there were special teams and other things that led to that game going awry, or Logan Smothers could have a win under his belt, and it's against Iowa.
Sure.
So we got to give some love and acknowledgement to that.
It's good to have him on the team. I have no beefs with that.
But Logan Smothers is a guy that is impossible for me to assess because he looks small.
Yep.
And then all I hear about is how fast Logan Smothers is. And I guess for me, I never feel like I'm wowed by how fast he is.
It's hard when you've seen Eric Crouch.
Or Taylor Martinez.
Yeah, and like that.
Or even
is,
Adrian Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Like young Adrian.
I think I'm such a like, when you see a guy with real burst, I just haven't seen it from Smothers yet. But you know, he's definitely not. He's not slow. But
no,
he's
I'm not saying that. I guess I just hear about
he's not
like,
a burner.
No,
yet I haven't seen that out of him. And it's, to me, it's like either usually see that pretty quickly.
Because I think it's he ran track in high school and like yeah. like so he is. It's not like it's just an opinion. There are like validated 100 meter dash times all that stuff that like this dude can move. I just I guess I'm yet to see anything on the field that makes me go, whoa, that is yeah. fast. But I that's one of the things like if you would. The first thing I think people would use to describe Logan Smothers would be like, well, he's fast. And I'm like, is he? I guess I haven't really seen
that. You know, I don't think Eric Crouch ever ran the 100 times that Smothers did, but like Eric Crouch was fast.
Yes.
He was really fast on the football field. He ran that option and he was like,
whoa.
He'd hit a gap and it would be zoop.
Yes.
And I don't know that, like, maybe that's a translate onto the field
And I don't know what that is. Like, remember Martinez's fake pitch against Northwestern and he hit the gas?
Yeah.
Like, he looked fast on that, yeah. like for that,
for, especially for him,
for
who had
him,
been like slower the
yeah,
years.
He became
that.
Kind of a plotting guy a little bit, like Mark Jack. He like backed people down on,
yeah,
the,
he backed them on the block. He was playing old man ball as a sophomore in Nebraska.
Let me back him down real quick. Let me back him down. Get 2-3 yards. Get to third and full.
All you gotta do is pull the chair away, and they'll
be like, oh shit! He pulled the chair out from underneath me. But. So I wrote down for Harburg, always passes the eye test for me. He just does.
He's going poster on your wall.
I would accept a Heine Harburg poster. Smothers.
Hey, get your hands
off
my
Heine. Get your hands off my Heine. Smothers, you know, and it's unfortunate. He didn't throw the ball great. I think he was 5 of 14 throwing the ball. Heine threw a pick, but I'm gonna give him a pass because, God, he looks good out there. Well, and then I wasn't sure. I was pretty excited that Chuba played.
Okay.
So where are you at on Chuba? You want a Chuba poster?
So I'm not going Chuba poster yet, but dang, he was purdy, man. No, he let me
I
tell
just
you,
think he's purdy.
I thought he, because he didn't practice a ton. Like,
no.
Limited reps or whatever, but I thought he looked pretty good.
So did I.
And this is my way too early take. I think
I love
if
way
he's
too early
healthy
picks.
I might have to call a slight QB competition in fall camp.
See, it's funny you say that. I'm kind of sneaky right there with you.
You know, taking his 10 snaps, it looked smooth. He looked pretty athletic. And you got to remember, this is new coordinator, and Purdy's kind of his guy, I felt like.
Like if we were in Vegas, the odds-on favorite is Thompson,
and I think Thompson
feels like he's the guy.
I think Thompson's starting day one. The question is Purdy the guy that is good enough that puts the heat on Thompson, and then if Thompson does, you know, like when Martinez didn't play well, it was just like, well, you just
right.
go out there again and try
Who
again.
Who came? Andrew Bunch. I mean, it's not like Purdy's not Andrew Bunch.
That's the difference. Is like. Martinez, you know, McCaffrey for 1 year, he had that, and they pulled him.
Right.
But for 3 other years, there was nobody behind Martinez.
Especially when, let's be honest, these coaches know what it is next year. They got to win. So when that's the case, you're maybe less apt to go, let's let this quarterback play through this and lose. Like, if you feel like a quarterback is losing you a game, Frost is going to be quick to try to change that.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm with you. Like, I thought Chuba Purdy, for a guy that had a very limited spring, who's got very limited sample size of experience at the Division I level, I actually walked away kind of liking what I saw from Chuba. Now, some of this could also be a product of we saw, in terms of sheer snaps, I bet he got three or four times the amount of snaps that Casey Thompson got. So there's also an element of that, of like the more you see Chuba Purdy and Heinrich Harburg walk the catwalk and you're sitting there like, so hot right now.
I'm you're too just, sexy yeah. for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Coming up on stage 2, give it up for Chuba Purdy. She's my cherry pie. Big round of applause for Chuba Purdy. Now put your hands together. Coming up on stage 2, let's hear it for Heine.
That's so good.
Bad.
Go up on stage. Yeah, maybe we're here's the problem. This is
I'm overdoing it with KC and
shooting. We're overshooting the Purdy thing, but I'm just telling you, I had this little hunch.
I'm with
where
you.
You're looking at just he's a little bit bigger, a little bit more built. He throws a good ball. He moves well, and Whipple's been on him for a long time. So those three things make me go. I still think Thompson's day one starter, but I think Purdy is going to push the limit harder.
I am totally with you.
In season, that's where if you got that guy, the coordinators and the coaches have that guy waiting to go if something's not going right.
Right. Again, with understanding that basically we started this whole thing with like there are no takeaways, but like if you have to force takeaways.
Yes.
I guess for me, if you were to say, hey, Chuba Purdy will start a game next year, that doesn't shock me.
It went from maybe none to like 10% chance.
I just thought like he threw the best. I wrote down categories for like best throw, best catch. It's the same play. It's Purdy to AJ Rollins.
Yeah,
like that's a nice throw. It's a nice catch by AJ Rollins. But even he had a play that I think I called back. He scrambled and found a guy on the sideline. Yeah. That was a hell of a play. Yeah. So I guess I walked away, and maybe it's because I wasn't sure he was even going to play. So maybe I'm at the club, and all of a sudden it's like, on stage two, it's Chuba. I'm like, I didn't even know Chuba was working.
Chuba's
tonight.
Working on Tuesdays?
So maybe it's that. Maybe it is that. Okay. Don't bail on
Nick,
me now.
Do not. Nick, what's wrong with you? It's nothing. I didn't do anything wrong. What's wrong with you?
You were involved. You
I
don't
know.
Act like you're
we
not involved.
We go down together. Hey, we go down together.
If I'm As going always, down, you're coming down with
we
me.
We always
okay?
go down together.
You're coming down with me. So those are the quarterbacks.
I think our wives would like to go to that club.
I think they would. I don't think there's any question about that. Do you want to get to the running backs?
I'm still in the club. Yes.
Well, okay, so I will say Anthony Grant maybe got touched, but nevertheless, like, it was a great move at the line of scrimmage, and then he showed burst.
Yeah.
For me, he was for some reason, why did I in my mind think he was a bigger guy?
I did too. He looked bigger in JUCO. I think at this level, he's like average size.
Maybe because one of the first things we worked on was he's smaller than I thought.
Yeah.
But even on that play, like, that was a... I'm not sure I've seen a Nebraska running back not named Maurice Washington make a guy miss. I mean, Yant did it a few times against Northwestern, but like make a guy miss and truthfully house it.
Yeah, he looked the best of our backs.
Right.
In my opinion, off the short sample size, he had one nice little catch over the middle.
Yep.
Like I think he's, when you hear the rumors about all the practices, he seemed to be our best guy.
Right.
I don't think anything that you saw just by the way he moves would make you think anything otherwise. He looked like he moves the best.
Because I wrote that best, we kind of did this for our preview, but best guess for running back depth chart when the guys go to Dublin, Ireland. I'm from Dublin. What accent am I doing?
I don't know.
Hey, no, I don't know. Okay.
I'm from Dublin.
If best guess for Dublin depth chart. Grant?
Yes. One.
Ramir? Two?
Probably because he'll be the third down back. And then it's, I think, coin flip Yant and
is Gabe Irvin going to be healthy by then?
He will, but he'll probably be. So it's probably Yant, but Gabe.
But if Gabe Irvin's healthy, I'd say Gabe Irvin's third.
Yeah, I think so. I think Gabe was... I think he's just a more natural football player.
I remember you and I talked about this on one of the... Might have been after one of the early recap pods. I felt like Gabe Irvin was the victim of, like, anytime it was his turn to get a series, he'd be like, Nebraska starts at its own 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, it was always a horrible situation.
And nobody blocked.
And no one blocked.
I think he got the roll of the dice of where if you got 200 carries, it doesn't matter. It'll all even
right.
out. But if you're only going to get so many, it's like you can kind of get the stats just will work against you. Just not enough rolls of the dice. Almost,
well, and
right?
And yeah, at some point you're going to get a good roll of the dice, AKA meaning a good scenario, a well blocked play, yeah, a little bit of space. I just never even felt like I got a chance to see Gabe Irvin, what he could do. You know, like, you know, one of those plays where you go, ooh, there was room there.
Yeah, get through the line of scrimmage and see what you can do. I don't know that I saw it maybe once the whole year where he got through the line.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, like, he's young and he's probably not breaking as many tackles through the lines he will as he gets older. But I really, when you watch, like, man, nobody's blocking for him.
No.
Like, and that's not to say that they weren't trying. Like, it's just bad. It's like the luck of the timing of being out there.
So, but I think Grant, I really think Grant's going to be your day one starter. That's my guess.
I think so.
But yeah, the 60-yard run was not, I mean, again, did he get touched? Maybe or not, but like it was in a two-hand touch situation to have a 60-yard touchdown run where the only little bit of controversy was right away.
Yeah, and that was one, like, of those where, like, maybe the guy makes the tackle, maybe in real life he doesn't, because it's harder to tackle than to be like, oh, I got you. Like,
right.
If you're not in good body position.
Because I even have to imagine like the, whoever the free safety is that had the kind of one run fit on the backside, like, it's kind of weird when you're coming in to, like, fit the run and it's two-hand touch.
Well, that's why I felt like they didn't thud up enough. Like, I think they should have.
Right.
Even if you don't take him down, you got to hold him up. Like, you got to show that I get. But, you know, if you're just tagging off, like, that's where I almost would give him credit. Be like, okay, call the touchdown, because the guy didn't make it obvious enough that he tackled you.
He couldn't. Whoever that safety was took a bad angle and got caught flat-footed, and like he didn't even come close to touching.
No, he didn't get, like, when he got through the line, that
was
real.
Night.
Yeah, that was real. But and then, you know, the corner couldn't run him down. That's a good sign.
So that's a great sign.
But yeah, it's just like I said, the format made it
tough.
We're even talking about maybe,
and even with the O line, I'm not sure really what to take away from it with its ability to run block, and I also think Frost line was, we were being, what do you say, dreadfully simple, where they were just basically running inside zone, inside zone, inside zone. Like, it was just nothing fancy at all.
Yeah.
The one thing that was maybe a little bit concerning was the weakness. It was a little, the only thing that would be concerning if we're trying to have takes is the supposed weakness of the defense. One of the weaknesses of the team is no pass rush. And
The pass rush
was like Garrett Nelson and Jamari Butler looked like.
I think Nelson is looking as good as, I mean, the Ultimate Warrior might be shaking ropes this year.
I agree. Like, he was, at one point I wrote down that Nelson was just like wrecking shop.
He's played a lot of football. I mean, he's been a 3-year starter and he's played for 4 years. I mean, he has a lot of snaps, and he's also a dude that is, you know, he's kind of a, like, he works his butt off.
Right.
He's energy. Really strong. They say he put on like 10 pounds extra
muscle. He
looked
bigger. They did a sideline interview with him and he looked bigger.
I'm telling you.
And
that,
he just looked like a guy that, like, I'm sure you felt like this at some point where all of a sudden you're like, I can play at this level. I've established that I can play at this level. I have confidence in my position on the team and what I can do. Like, he kind of exuded that.
It's weird. It sometimes takes that last year even to kind of get over. Like, my last 2 years were just like, I felt infinitely different than I did my first three.
Yeah.
You know, like, my last year, I remember, like, there were times where I could, like, I wasn't really like an edge rusher like he is. I was more of a off backer. But sometimes I would, like, all, like, almost like a 3-4 rush. And I remember one time I was going against Carl Nix. And Carl Nix is Carl Nix.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of gave him an up and under, and I kind of threw him a little bit.
Oh.
And I went, how did I do that? Because I didn't think I could do it. And I never did it again, but I did it once.
You did it one time.
And I never, like, I wasn't built to do
but
that.
But you had the confidence.
I just, like, was a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger than I'd ever been. And, like, little things like that start happening when you just get older, where you just, you have the techniques and you just have, you're just stronger, where you start being able to hold your own.
Right.
And, you know, he's a guy that was a little bit undersized playing on that edge against these big monster tackles. And I just think he's going to be not all world. He's not going to be Trev Alberts. He's not going to be Grant Wistrom. But can he be like the, you know, the Ultimate Warrior of the Ultimate? Can he be the best version of himself, which we've never maybe seen? I think this might be his year to kind of just be like a solid freaking edge guy.
I'm not so sure he wasn't my biggest takeaway from the spring game. Like that I'm like, hey, he looks like a guy that is ready to take that like that big next leap into being like, dude, Garrett Nelson's like a big time difference maker.
Well, it's Nelson Robinson and Henrich are clearly like the emotional leaders of that defense.
Because what's Reimer's personality? Is Reimer kind of like a
I would think less
rah-rah
probably
okay.
To me he's always come across as that, but
right. He's got a little sweat. Like he'll shoot through and like snap a guy and give you a little something, but like Nelson obviously is like
Nelson's
the ultimate warrior.
He's the ultimate warrior. And Robinson's got some of that.
He's living at Jason Peters' house. They're on beanbags right now.
Those two are just like just double nickels telling, you know, double nine.
You just gotta go.
You gotta wanna eat their soul.
Tomorrow you gotta eat Ethan Piper's nose. Just eat it.
You gotta hate him.
You gotta hate everybody. It's like, okay. But I think Ty is becoming Jason Peter Jr., which is great.
That's good. We need that. I saw Peter on the sideline too. I could tell he was fuming that things were soft. It was like, I don't know. I didn't talk to him. I was sitting 50 yards away behind Peter, and I can tell you this.
You could just feel it, like, you could, radiating.
Radiating. He was so mad they weren't tackling.
Right.
It was, I could just tell, but I was, like, laughing to myself. Thinking,
but the emotion, like, that stuff does matter for football. And the thing about Nelson, to me, was, like, the first couple years he played, he was just kind of this. He played hard, but he was kind of just like a mess of energy at times.
Yeah.
And now you feel like, okay, you never have to coach effort with him. And now if you get a little more strength, a little more intelligence, a little more confidence, a little more comfort.
A little more skill.
A little more skill. Yeah. Like a couple of his, I mean, he...
Pass rush
had some decent moves to get around guys. So I was excited. I mean, even his interview on the sideline, you know, Megan McEwen asked him, what do you want Husker fans to know about you? And he's like, you want serious or you want something a little? And he was like, my favorite food is watermelon. And you're like, great, Garrett Nelson. That's terrific. But, you know, then he hits on all the right notes of like, we're going to build on what this defense is. Like, he says all the right things. Yeah. So, no, I was excited about him. Jamari Butler had a nice pass rush, too.
He's the guy that I've always kind of wanted to become like one of, like, I don't know if he's got superstar in him, but like he's progressing. I mean, he's getting better, but like him and Gunnarsson
look like,
that's what I'm saying. But him and Gunnarsson are the two that I kind of thought I was hoping that like by this year they would be like, ooh, we got some, I don't know if they're freaks,
right?
But can they be solid players? I mean, at this point we need solid players. Now the question is, I know we have some big transfer portal
TCU
guy we were trying to get. That tells you though, they still, you know, if we can get another pass rusher,
it still needs to happen.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know. I mean, to me, like that's one, if we could get one of those, oh my God, yes. But two, it's like defensive line. I am concerned.
Me too.
I gotta be honest. I am very concerned. Rodgers is out and he's never been healthy. And you Robinson's lose, our only guy right now.
Yeah, because you lose Stilly, you lose Snacks, you lose Daniels inside.
And you lose like, Riley, who is one of the backups. It's
right.
Like, that hurts a little bit.
Just what did you see? We got to see the polar bear out there a little bit. I mean.
Here's the thing about, he's a fan favorite because he's a weightlifter guy.
And
but
he's got kind of a catchy nickname, too.
He's great. I mean, it's everything you want if you could be good at football. I just don't know if he's good at football.
Right.
Like, I just don't know. It's like, is he a guy that can, like, can he move and can he make tackles? Like, that to me is, I know he can lift weights and
right.
squat the world, but can he translate it to the field? That I don't know, because, I mean, we need him this year.
Yes.
We need him because I'm just telling you, between Robinson and Rodgers, they need breaks. And there's a good chance, as every year, like somebody in the D-line will get hurt.
Right.
And there's, so it's like,
no, it's concern that it's interesting how much that has become. I mean, would you say if you're ranking concerns, is it by position group? If you had to rank your number one concern, would it still be O-line?
Or would you go
D-line?
I think depth D-line. I think the O-line's depth
is decent.
It's better than the D-line's depth. Mm-hmm. you know, if Prochazka and Cochran can come back and be kind of what their potential says, I mean, I think our O-line will be fine. I just think defensive line, like if Robinson were to get hurt, I mean, we'd be in big trouble.
Big trouble.
Because he's 1A, and then everybody else is like, you know, Rodgers is fine, but he's never been a starter before.
And it's just concerning in the Big Ten, and in the particular the Big Ten West. Like, if there's a place, it's like Nebraska basketball. Like, their one place they've been vulnerable for the entire Fred Hoiberg era is at the five.
Yeah.
And in Big Ten basketball, it's like every fucking night you're dealing with a All-American five.
Yeah.
And in the Big Ten for football, it's the same thing. Like, if there's a place you don't want to be, we'd much rather be weak at corner. Dude,
Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota have big old northern trees that are going to run the ball on you. And
right.
Of all the things, I think that actually was what my biggest position concern was. Just like, I was looking at the D-line depth and I was just going, man, you know, the young guys don't look physically like they're comfortable out there yet.
No.
And D-line's not a position you can play unless you're physically there. You just can't. It's just a brutal.
So hopefully they get this TCU guy would be like this year, right?
Yeah, but he'd be an edge guy. So
but still.
That's like, big. So because they're going to more of a 4-3 now.
Right.
I think for this very reason is.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. And I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it. And how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. So do you think they're probably going to go to the, are they going to go to the portal and get a few more D linemen?
I bet you they try to get an edge and an inside guy if they could. It's hard to find though, right?
Like, yeah,
they're
going to
be
the
good ones. Like the guys that you know that you can get, you might not want, and the guys that you want, it's hard to get.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it'd be it's a real thing.
It'd be huge, but that's my quick take is I liked, you know, and Nelson and Tanner I think are like I'd feel comfortable with them because I've seen them for a couple of years. They're serviceable. Nelson might be a guy elevating his game, but now if you pair Nelson with somebody that can really do some more damage, it makes him even better. So, I don't know. I'm
in the game that it was impossible to have takeaways from, as we have takeaways. Was there any other takeaway from the defense? Any other player pop to you?
Backup, I've heard some really good things about Ernest Hausman, and he's the next inside linebacker.
Okay.
So, as a true freshman who still should be in high school,
early
enrollee. He's a guy that might get to work himself into playing time this year.
That'd be great.
And I think he got in a weird way overlooked because he's from Columbus,
right?
But I actually met him the other day, and he was taller. He was like basically almost my height. He was taller than
really?
I thought. Well, maybe he was an inch shorter, but he was taller than I thought, and he runs well. Like there's a couple plays watching him, like the QB scramble, and he, like, you can just tell, like, closing speed. Like,
right.
It accelerates, and that doesn't happen with a lot of linebackers.
Okay.
So my brother says he's smart. He's one of those guys that gets it.
Right.
And he's a early enrollee, and he's already kind of
there.
It's like, that is 2 years ahead of most people.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you got Reimer, and you got Henrich, and so he doesn't need to play this year, but like next year, I think you're gonna know
remember
that
the name
next year.
Remember the name.
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, remind me that I have a question to ask you at the very end, but we're gonna keep rolling through here because we got to talk about Trey Palmer.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey Palmer had, what do you have, a couple of catches maybe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's He had two catches for 11 yards. I mean, hard to take away a ton. One of my big takeaways from Trey Palmer was an answer that Casey Thompson gave when being interviewed on the sidelines during the game. Megan McKeown asked him, "Who's your favorite? Are you developing a chemistry with these new wideouts? Who's your favorite target?" And he kind of gave her this look, like, "Come on, you know the answer to that question."
Yeah,
and he began to gush about Trey Palmer. Which I think, I mean, this is a guy that has been, I mean, he led the Big 12 in touchdowns. Like, he understands what, like, real dudes are supposed to look like. And I think that's a great sign, which jives with what other guys have been saying. But, I mean, Trey Palmer and the few, he looked fine, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell. I wanted to see him really, like, get into
his... No real deep balls.
No, I wanted to see him really kind of, like, let loose one time, but you didn't really get that. But that's kind of the nature of the beast. Any other... You saw a lot of Kamonte Grimes. I feel like every play was, like, Kamonte Grimes, like, led the universe in targets.
I thought he had a good...
He had a good
fall
day.
Last year, too. And then we didn't see him at all during the season.
And A.J. Rollins played well. I mean, I know he's a tight end, but, like, he had four catches, 39 yards. One was a really good one. And maybe given that situation...
Do you know what's the deal with Fedoni? I don't even know what the deal is with him exactly.
They're being real coy about the nature of the injury. But you hear through the... Right? Yeah, you hear through the grapevine that it's not good. That it's, like, really, really not good.
Oh.
Which is scary. So, I don't know. But, I mean, so...
I thought they were saying he was going to be back for the season, though.
I don't know. I honestly...
Oh.
Well, I'm not totally sure. But I guess I get the sense that it's... I don't know if it's, like, dude is... for sure out next year, but it certainly isn't like a...
Oh, I just tweaked my hammy
or something. Little, like, banged his knee. Like, he's like, ah, God.
Charlie Horse!
Oh, like Peter Griffin when he hit his shin. He's like, ah. But it's not a Peter Griffin knee injury.
Okay, it's a...
But yeah, I mean, A.J. Rollins, homeboys from prep. I mean, he looked pretty good.
He looked good. Yeah, I think that's a good sign.
High-pointed one of them. Ty Han had a touchdown, which is good to see. And then I did love Miles Farmer could have lit Kamonte Grimes up.
Yeah. Now, that's a place where I agree with not hitting a person there. In that scenario, you tell your guys, look. But then it's like you give them the touchdown. It's like.
I know. That's what's hard. Like a part of me, it was like, good call, Miles Farmer. But then I'm like, well, could you have, like, at least not let him score?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it. I actually had the hardest maybe hit of my career was in a spring game. A guy was running a crossing route, and I was, like, sitting back in zone, and they let it right, and I, like, depleted him as one of the biggest. And I, like, went helmet to helmet, and I was like,
before the days
where it was a problem, and it was like I got so much, like, great job, but like it was like I got praise. I lit up my teammate in the spring game, like, depleted, absolutely destroyed this guy. And I thought I was really proud of that moment. And then, like,
it's amazing how much has changed.
Now so much has changed.
Well, Miles Farmer, you could tell even his body language, like, he let up, like,
he let him have, and that's the right thing to do there. But I'm telling you, it wasn't that long ago where, like, that was like, oh, I've been waiting all my life for this opportunity.
I've been waiting for this moment
just to kill my teammate. And I killed him, and I did.
Yes. Well, I mean, come on.
If I could do it again. Probably would.
I know you would because you're from a different era, but, like, Miles Farmer could have given Kamonte Grimes a concussion.
Yeah, and I think here's what I'll say too. That's a over the middle.
That's a tough one.
It's hard because the one of mine was like it was a crossing.
It was a crosser.
Underneath.
He was kind of it was more of like a seam.
Yeah, I don't.
But
know.
I don't know. I mean,
I do come. It's crazy now, but I do come from a different era now. I've officially become the guy from a different era, and I'm like,
well, didn't they used to do? Was it on primetime where they did hits of the week or they had?
No, I'm sure.
What was it? Where it was just and it was. I mean, it is insane how football used to be.
It is, but you know
if
what?
You went over the middle. You were.
You
going
want
to
know
to
why people love the game?
Shit rocked
because people love to see that sort of, like, orchestrated violence. It is unbelievable.
Anymore, it's kind of amazing that people are. Now, this is coming from Johnny, not tough. But it is amazing anymore how people are still afraid to go over the middle, where it's like that, like the big shots kind of aren't there very much anymore. People go low now.
I think I'd actually be more scared to have somebody take out my legs than right. somebody hit me like up high and even maybe hit my head. Because you got the helmet. Yeah, it's concussion potentials. But
right.
when they take out your knee, it's the rest of your life. That knee ain't right. You know, right. like, you're not say your head's, but like,
no, but it's a different
the amount
deal.
Of times when your head's is actually like,
right, where it's a career range. Ender, that's or probably limited. But
man, when you,
so, the other thing was special teams. I thought it was hilarious that Brian Buscini, first punt, just hammered one 69 yards, and the place, it's not like, I'm not so sure the biggest roar of the crowd wasn't Buscini's first punt.
It was.
I mean, he crushed that thing.
People loved it.
The unfortunate thing was his next three punts went for 29 yards, 32 yards, and 14 yards. Now, it was windy, and the wind was kind of swirling. Like,
there was no pass. There was no – nobody was rushing, though.
Right.
I can go kick it 14. And I don't got a good leg. So if you don't got a rush
– how are you not – 14's pretty bad. 14's
but there's
bad.
No rush.
Like, I don't know what happened.
You punt –
you are a punter.
All day long.
Right.
During practices for years at a time. I don't know how you miss. Like, if a 30-yard to 40-yard punch, you'd be like, I missed it.
Right.
Especially when nobody's on you. You don't have to rush. Like,
he had a 29-yarder and a 14-yarder. And then he had 69 yards, 29 yards, 32 yards, 14 yards, 62 yards, 38, 44, and 40. Very interesting day for Brian Buscini.
I don't know. That's
you know me. I love me some punters. So I want to see. I want to see. There's nothing better than when a punter just like pins a guy at the one. You're just like,
you are
checkmate.
Kinda, you. But you are the guy that like after school would come home and have like your field goal set up and you'd kick a empty Gatorade bottle for hours on end. Just
I was really into kicking.
You love doing that
I
type
did.
Of stuff.
I did enjoy punting.
You could
and
do
kicking.
Repetitive things yeah. like that.
Was I like free throws? I could sit there and be like,
that's why you're a great shooter,
throws.
Though, because yeah. you would go and you just get in your little mind game of
repeating a motion over
you
and
do
over
it
again.
A thousand times in a row.
Did Chase Contreras, someone missed an extra point. That wasn't good. Was that Contreras?
I don't know.
I know Contreras missed a field goal, but it's like, let's not go down.
But he was here last year. The new guy. It hasn't even – the new kicker, field goal kicker, hasn't even started with him.
So. Okay, well, that's good here. Yeah, Chase Contreras missed from 42. He made from 26 because, yeah, we don't need a repeat of
oh my God.
Last year on that front. One thing that's cool, you know, the returners, it was good to see. I didn't realize Tommy Hill goes back there.
I think Tommy – anybody that wears like one or zero – You basically know that's the most confident guy in the team.
I feel like
and
Tommy
I usually
Hill's,
want those guys as my return.
So do I. Tommy Hill, I'm all in on Tommy Hill because of his number selection, the fact that he's returns punts. I'm liking me some Tommy Hill.
Yeah.
I would like can we get Trey Palmer and Tommy Hill for kickoff return?
Here's one thing I saw that I appreciated. They came out for the first punt team, and there was like Yant was on it. Omar Manning was on it. There was a couple of these like running backs, receivers, like DBs that I was like, I never saw those kind of guys on those units last year. Like
right.
the guys that were like the top dudes at running back and receiver were not ever on a special team. And to me, I was like, that's a good sign. Like your
we
best,
talked about that.
Your best yeah. athletes need to be out there. And I think that was a good, like that was something
well,
noticeable to me.
When we watch these Husker Classic recaps, a lot of, you know, there's this idea out there that a lot of the guys that were on the special teams were a bunch of like, you know, a bunch of walk-ons from McCook.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the infamous play that you pointed out to start the Miami National title game,
Schlesinger
killed a guy on the KO, on the kickoff. He KO'd a guy on the KO.
Yeah.
And
Starting fullback was chasing
a guy down and just rammed a guy.
And that's the stuff that like maybe we always take for granted. Those things add up over a year or you know over right. a game. And you just got to have your best players out there all the time.
The question I wanted to ask you, and we can kind of wrap it up with this, because this has been absurd, before we go back to the club and talk about who's coming to the stage.
How could we not go absurd after that? We couldn't be serious. Nothing about yesterday made me want to be serious. I wanted to be the opposite of serious.
I know. I've wrote down notes to talk, and I'm like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about. But I guess what's amazing is, I don't know if anybody's really asked this simple question. Being a former player that's gone through a bunch of spring practices, how big of a deal is it that Chance of Bloomington, Chris Hickman, Vokalek, Reimer, Casey Rogers, how big of a deal is it, Gabe Irvin, that these guys didn't have a spring? Like, is it a big deal to not,
I think,
especially considering the fact that it's a lot of new coaches?
I think if you haven't gone through a couple springs, it's a bigger deal. Like, I missed when I broke my arm after my sophomore year, where like I played a whole season. I'd already had three springs, or at least two springs. And I was like green jersey, same thing. I was like go through warmups and individuals, and like I would sit out. Me and Stu Bradley were both coming up, so we both sat out the whole spring.
Right.
And you know, it didn't really matter for us.
Okay.
Like, we were already past the point where it mattered, but we needed the springs before that to kind of, like, get to that level.
So I guess that's what's hard about it is, like, for a guy that hasn't established himself and hasn't actually produced in the season, spring matters. But maybe, I guess, I'm amazed at how...
Vokalek, he'll be fine.
Right. Reimer, you assume he'll be fine.
Reimer, probably fine. Yeah.
You could go down the list with a lot of these
guys. But Fedoni needed a spring.
Right. Chuba Purdy probably needed a full spring, although he at least got to get in the game. But like Gabe Irvin probably needed a spring.
Gabe Irvin would need a spring.
Casey Rogers probably needed a spring.
Casey's a borderline guy because he's been around long enough that he'll probably be okay. But like the guys that haven't been around for 3-4 years, I think you need a spring. Like you don't play enough football the rest of the year. You lift weights and you run. Like you don't play football, but you know, those however many practices in the spring.
But it's just interesting how spring is so bizarre, and how like we talk about how important it is and this and that, and then like when guys are out for the spring, they're kind of like, well, whatever. I mean, that's fine. You're like, well, wait a minute, hold on.
It's to me, it's like the guys that are good athletes that don't know how to do things right on the football field need spring.
Right.
And so if you got good athletes that aren't great football players yet, like you need to really work their freaking butts.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I don't know, they whatever those intangible things that you have to do on the field playing the game, like you're not good at them at the season. Like if you don't do them in the spring, you've never done them in the spring and the fall, like you're not going to walk into the game and just be like, oh, I can do all these fundamental things really well. Because you got to do fundamentals really well all the time. And spring and fall are where you
do it. When you build on that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, it feels like all in all, it was a productive spring, I guess, you know? I mean, you don't know what to make with the spring game.
I know. I think it's a positive. I mean, there's nothing negative that came out of the spring. I mean, I think Mickey
options.
Joseph, Whipple, Raiola have been so far.
And I think you have, agree. I think those guys have been awesome. Especially Mickey seems like he's really, really made an impact. I even get the sense from people that Brian Applewhite at the running back spot has kind of really made a difference as well.
I think so. But you know who I still like right now? The guy that's made the biggest difference, and I'm the number one support, like Trev Alberts right now. If we don't understand that this guy is doing things as an AD at a very high level, I think he is doing everything right. Like we're lucky to have him now. And I'm realizing that what a difference he probably could have made 5 years ago.
Oh.
But you know what I'm saying? Like Bill Moose made good hires, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He's made good hires. Even though the whole, like same thing, Hoiberg situation has not worked out.
You'd make that hire again.
You'd make that hire again.
Same with Frost.
Exactly, Frost too. I would have made both those hires. I wish it was Trev that would have got that chance because, man, he is doing everything right on so many levels that go unseen. That I'm, I think people need to understand that.
Well, the next year is so intriguing. You were hoping on some level spring ball would give us a little bit of a glimpse of what could come be coming. I'm not sure if we got that glimpse. Did maybe on some levels, like you feel a little better. And I mean, I feel like you got, I mean, Casey Thompson and Chuba Purdy are, if you're going to lose Martinez, those two guys seem like between those two dudes, there are far worse situations to be in than having those two guys as your potential quarterback. So there we go. Bow on spring football in the spring game. Next thing we know, we'll think of topics to dive into throughout the offseason here.
We've got a backlog of wine pods we got to do.
I have so many bottles of wine around here that need to get consumed.
We always got Husker football, but I think me and you just have
we got so much
pop culture. We've got so much just sports entertainment in general to talk about.
Well, and you know, we won't get into this, but I didn't even know about this Day by Day documentary until you text me about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be in theaters, I believe, at the Rococo on May 13th and 14th. Is it like 2 days only? And then it's like...
So this is what I thought it was going to be like a 30 for 30, but then I actually saw some of my old teammates, like Mark Brungert and Josh Davis are some of the producers. So
I'm not totally sure of what the structure of it. Like, I know when I was on the website, so people don't know, there's a Day by Day documentary coming out about the 90s reign of dominance for Nebraska football. And it looks like it's really well done. You can go to the website, just Google Day by Day Nebraska documentary. You'll be able to see the trailer. And the trailer's got Peyton Manning. It's got Archie Manning. It's got Barry Switzer. It's Bobby got Bowden. Like round tables with Frazier and a bunch of different, like, it looks really, really well done.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, I don't know if the dynasty, there's been individual, you've heard the story, like there's been BTN documentaries about the 94 season and about the 97 season. I don't think anybody's ever told the full big story in a documentary sense on the dynasty. And it feels like this has a chance to be done right. And it looks like it's about a month away from.
So my question is though, like, is it going to get, where's it going to get played? Is it going to go on the Big Ten? Is it going to go?
I don't know.
Is ESPN? Because, you know, like if you were to say it's a 30 for 30, like, I'm even more fired up because it is. I know that everybody around the country is going to see it.
That's a good question. Because I'm on Day by Day. It's daybydaymovie.com.
Because people in Nebraska are going to eat this up. What I hope is this becomes something that people nationally can see, because for us, we need people, these kids around the country, see this, to understand this is what Nebraska is.
I think you're thinking about like the documentaries like The U and like stuff like that, where you're telling the good and the bad, but that's what I don't know. I think it's going to start in theaters. Like, I'm looking right now, Lincoln, Nebraska, Friday, May 13th, at the Rococo. And then there's a showing on May 4th. There's two showings on the 13th, two showings on the 14th. And I'm not sure after that. I have a hard time feeling like, I mean, maybe it goes to Blockbuster Video, new releases.
That's worrying.
I don't even know how it's a joke, but it is. It's the 90s. It's a whole thing of the 90s that goes to Blockbuster.
See, in the 90s, that would have been a big deal.
It would have been a huge deal. You guys have the Day by Day documentary? I don't know. Check new releases.
Check new releases. Here it is.
Do you have The Fugitive? Check the new releases. So, I don't know, but that's it. I urge everybody to go check it out. The trailer looks like it's well done.
It does. I mean, the fact you got those, like, you got the Switzers and the Bobby, like, those are the opinions you like to hear from, because those are the people that the story, you know, revolves
Trev's
around.
In it.
Yeah, it's Trev. I mean, you got the main players telling the story. You got Coach Osborne still around, you know, to tell.
Barry Switzer, Peyton Manning, Archie Manning. Like, it's, urge everybody to go check that out. So I mean, I don't know if me and you have to. Do you want to go on May 13th?
Opening night.
I think that's my daughter's dance recital. So we're gonna have to go on my birthday on May 14th.
Though. Okay.
Yep. May 14th, maybe me and you or Coco, should we go to dinner before?
Yes.
Dinner after.
Steak, dinner.
Steak, dinner, steak.
Late night podcast, recapping it. When we're absolutely hammered and drunk.
So Friday or Saturday, May 14th, we're gonna go to the movie,
yes.
And then we're gonna get a steak, we're gonna get drunk on wine, and then we're gonna podcast.
What a weekend that
Wow.
Was. Okay, I'm putting this down.
Put it down on the calendar.
Tickets on me, it's your birthday gift.
Okay, there we go. I appreciate that. That's
day
a great
by day,
birthday.
We're
gift.
Gonna be there.
Oh God, is that good? Okay. Well, you get the tickets and we will I guess. I'll get the wine ready to go. We'll
Should
be
we
ready
go
to
in like Husker jerseys? Like,
oh, let's go!
I'll
like,
be Tommy Frazier. Yes. You'll be Lawrence Phillips.
Love it. Yeah, we gotta find some. Let's just Husker it out.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. You ready? Let's do this.
A Huda Media Production.